gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We are literally, there's enough light in here, we literally are walking on the sun. That's how bright it is in here, getting ready for our big debut on Monday.
Yeah.
You know who looks good in this light?
Who?
Nobody.
Steffi.
Yeah, what's that heavy breathing I hear?
Could it be?
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
You are the prettiest human being in the world.
You know what?
Look how pretty you are in this light.
It's not true.
Who's the pretty boy in the window there?
It's more like an inner magnetism, honestly. But but I do think that these lights, I'm concerned for, as John Fugel sang, because not only is he nearly translucent in skin tone, but if he ever actually comes in here, it might be when they take a flashlight down like 40,000 leagues below sea and you see those
fish. People are going to tune into Current on Monday and go, ooh, it's a Twilight film.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's going to be like an x-ray. I'll just see his bones.
You're right.
He's glimmering.
Well, his big T-shirt, right? Exactly. I didn't ever notice that John Fugel's like had a light that dangles on a tentacle off of his forehead that attracts fish.
I don't understand how this happened because I obviously have no control over this because
well done.
Because I specifically said I just want little scarves over lamps like I have when my gentleman callers come.
They would catch fire.
No one listened to me.
Yes. But all I think within 5 days of broadcast, drapey cloth, you know.
Drapey cloths.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
they will
red.
Find their ways over these lights.
Yeah.
This is not over 40 lighting.
No, it is not.
The lights down low.
See, I always wear, they want me to keep my baseball hat, my hat, because I go to spinning every day after the show.
Right.
But I'm thinking now I'm going to wear like a burqa, because I will outfox them if it kills me. I'm going to wear a beekeeper outfit.
Right.
It doesn't matter
what
light.
A burqa will...
Go ahead. Put a clink light in here.
A burqa will accent the crow's feet.
That's
Shut
true.
Up.
Seriously.
Wow, that's a great way of looking at it.
Well,
would frame it. I don't know that necessarily it would...
It's like horizontal stripes.
I'm going to get a lot of sympathy mail when we start. Yeah. I'll be like, those men are so mean to you.
Perhaps a fencing outfit. Michael,
like that.
Smart.
Guess who is in my Google alert?
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God, it's official. We debut Monday. Current TV to launch morning...
Nervy.
Program block Monday. Current TV says it will launch a 6-hour morning talk block next Monday. That's this coming Monday, 26.
Yeah.
Set your TiVos, or whatever they are, DVRs.
6 hours.
Whatever
you're
the kids are using.
That means Bill Press is the other three?
That's right. Announced earlier this month, the morning slate will consist of live simulcasts of the radio programs, The Bill Press Show and The Stephanie Miller Show. The left-leaning political TV network announced a six top-of-the-hour news breaks beginning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll also start on Monday, which is why I was supplied with a phonetic spelling of the news anchor, because I tend to mispronounce.
There's a lot of C's and H's in her name, so...
What? Let me see.
Now, here is Jackie Schenkner. I don't know why they were concerned that
it's a tremendous
name. Pronounce that.
Well, I've worked with you for how long now? So I spelled it out phonetically
Thank
for you.
You.
You're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you, Schenkner. Oh, here's something that's going to stop on Monday. Uh-huh. Jim, how many times has this happened to us? Mary alerts us to Morning Joe today.
Mm-hmm.
Today! Totally ripped off your Mitt Romney Ron Burgundy mashup with video clip. Shameless.
Yep.
You'll know more, Morning Joe. We're going up against you head to head. West Coast will
been
be
happening to us for years.
Yeah, exactly.
I say something
else. Now it'll be actually up. That's where people will be able to see it.
I like grits.
I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. I love cars.
Are you just looking at things and saying that you love them?
Anderson.
So I'm running for office for Pete's sake.
I like grits.
I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. I love cars.
Are you just looking at things and saying that you love them?
Very special here. The Great Lakes, but also all the little inland lakes.
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp.
All right. Enjoy your last 2 days of ripping us off, Morning Joe.
Yeah.
So, how did you catch Mitt Romney's pancake humor? He talked about pancakes 2 days
pancakes.
In a row.
Oh.
I am eating pancakes. This is a pancake.
Because that makes me seem human. That I'm beginning to think like all of these things about. I love trees. I love is like an alien who's arrived on Earth who's trying to convince us all that they're not here to destroy us.
Wait,
like,
who am I thinking
that
of?
I finally wrap my head around.
Is it a John Travolta movie or Jeff Bridges? Who am I thinking of?
Starman.
Starman. Yes,
yeah,
Starman. That's
but
right.
An evil version.
Or like, Earth Girls Are Easy.
Waiting in the shade.
Right. Like everything is new, literally.
But it's like he's going. I enjoy your Earth's pancakes. Therefore, I will not destroy you. That is not our
they
giant...
are cakes from a pan.
Yeah, right. They make me happy.
I think why we demonstrated yesterday why the sexy liberal show is selling out everywhere. Right-wing comedy, not so much. What was his joke? Oh, this giant pancake. My goodness, it's almost as big as my win in Puerto Rico.
it's a big margin.
It's a
the
huge...
pancake, it's a margin.
Thank you, Illinois. And first, I would like to forgive...
Oh, he just discovered Illinois yesterday, too.
Yeah. What a night. Thank you, Illinois. What a night.
Wow.
Wow. Illinois. Who knew you were even here?
Wow. I didn't even realize I was supposed to care about you until 3 days ago. And then my super PAC started running ads.
I enjoy your capital city of Chicago.
Springfield. And apparently it was the lowest voter turnout
ever.
Yeah.
That's surprising. With the momentum happening everywhere.
Even with the biggest pancakes he's ever seen.
Really?
Right.
Those are some big pancakes.
Yes.
What are you trying to say, Mitt? Well, they're just the right size.
They're just the right size.
They're just the right flatness.
The stack is just the right height.
I like pancakes. I'm back in the North, and things are happening to me. I'm starting to have a disdain for the South.
This one's got a picture of Joseph Smith on it.
Yeah.
I better say it.
By the way, you can buy a piece of toast on eBay that apparently shows Romney shaking hands with Satan.
Nice.
Yeah. I love Satan. He's just the right depth underground.
Yeah, right.
Well, Satan probably is a Republican.
I love the smell of sulfur. I wake up to that in the morning. Of course, I love pitchforks.
That's
great
like
for hay or for
sulfur, eggs, etc.
Prodding sinners.
Sulfur, right. Etc.
Oh, he explained to us that the place he was at, pancakes, egg, etc. That's sort of
a play on words.
That's a play on words.
I don't know if you noticed that, but that's a play on
that's
words.
That's sort of a play on words.
Again,
and that's
I submit
humorous.
To you that I'm convinced he's that he's a... Yes. You know how they run those ads, like on YouTube you can see those videos about how there are lizards among us in positions
right.
of power. I'm starting to think that he's just like the most poorly constructed one ever. Like, this is before the great unveiling. He kind of reminds me of Vincent D'Onofrio in Men in Black,
right.
You know, who's wearing the skin of a human being.
And he's like, sugar in water, pancakes, I like trees.
That won't happen until the inauguration.
Right. And then he starts to eat a gopher on live television.
This is totally the plot of V.
Yeah,
totally the plot of,
yeah.
of V.
Right. Yeah.
And then Calista Gingrich unhinges her jaw.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Now,
we will be on turn going, we can't say we didn't warn you. Boo.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that you can look forward to on Current. Gawker brings us the story that science says stop making party balloons. We're running out of helium.
Running out of helium?
Science. Just when everyone's having a great time, it comes along, tells us to turn down the music, or at the very least, stop blowing up party balloons with helium, you heathens, because we're running some very important experiments. The Guardian reports that research facilities probing the structure of matter, medical scanners, and other advanced devices that depend on helium for experimentation are at risk, and many may have to reduce operations or close.
Don't look at me.
One of the scientists said it costs $30,000 a day to operate our neutron beams, but for 3 days we had no helium to run our experiments on those beams.
For 3 days we had no helium.
Shut up, egghead.
For 3 days we had no helium whatsoever.
In other words, we wasted 90,000 pounds because we couldn't get any helium, yet we put stuff into party balloons and let them float off into the upper atmosphere, or we use it to make our voices go squeaky for a laugh. It's very, very stupid.
That's highly objectionable.
It makes me really angry. Me too.
That's horrible. That's an insult to science. I am appalled. As a liberal who believes in science, that is not funny. It is appalling, the lack of helium. I am flabbergasted.
See what we did there.
Top that morning, Joe. See, I recorded that earlier, and then we sped it up.
We sped it up. As you are wont to do in morning radio.
As you do.
Oh, you just
Where's
hired
that
a
slide whistle?
Al Gore's like, I just hired a morning zoo? of some sort.
I was not aware that this sort of thing would be going on.
I was not informed of slide whistle.
I'm for it.
That would be a big turn.
With slide whistle.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because he's not the you know, the Al Gore of 1999 anymore. He is now the newer, hipper
Al Gore 2.0.
Yeah. Edgier? Yeah, he's the beta version. He's
the
awesome.
The pointy-headed scientist said, "We are squandering an irreplaceable resource. I didn't know this. Scientists say existing supplies of helium remain uncertain, and we may have to one day build mines on the moon to supply us with helium." So Newt Gingrich,
I'm right there. I'm there, frankly.
President of the moon, and be in charge of
and
our
party
helium
store
supply.
Owner. Well, Newt Gingrich is going to open a party store on the moon.
He looks like a Macy's
selling Mylar balloons to astronauts on their birthday.
He looks like a Macy's
floating above the
parade balloon. He does.
Frankly, ice cream cake. Frankly, have all the helium. Frankly.
Are we canceled yet?
You're fired.
All right. 17 minutes after the... I really do.
We should
I
have
think
a countdown clock on the thing running at all times. Countdown to...
I'm almost in my self-destructive fashion hoping for it. I'm almost hoping to be pre-fired because that publicity would be golden. I've never fired for actually gotten on before. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Kids, go to meeting. This is the only time I ever see Hal Sparks in person to know that he's real, because he's always, he's with his band, 01.
Right.
He's on the road.
Tomorrow night
comedy.
At the Roxy.
Thank you.
There you go. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you got your plug in my plug.
Look at that.
GoToMeeting with HD Faces, you can meet with anybody you work with, anywhere, anytime. Getting everybody together in a room can be impossible, and plus the hassle of travel, the expense. GoToMeeting HD Faces takes seconds. It is so easy. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you need just a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Now you can participate even on the go. There's a built-in camera in your iPad. I just discovered it. You can download the GoToMeeting app to join. I love GoToMeeting. You will, too. See how easy it is.
You're so precious.
Bless
your heart.
I'm all a little punkin. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, yeah. Hello. Just a very, very few tickets left for March 31st in Albuquerque. Get it, the next Sexy Liberal Show. All right. Ken and Camarillo, right? Have you seen the bumper sticker, Hal?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not a racist term. That just means a low-down person. That's what she said. That's what the lady who produces the bumper sticker said. That's not a race term. Yes. That's just,
she suggested she finds it hilarious that people think it's racist for some reason.
How would you get that idea?
Ken and Cameron, you know what? And how much you want to bet she's doing it on purpose?
Only a bunch of low-down people would think that.
To cause some road rage incidents so then Fox News has, like, you know, ooh, look, it's scary, violent black people. Look what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Ken and Camarillo writes, the other day I saw a guy with one of those Don't Renege in 2012 stickers on his car, so I honkied at him. All right. Speaking of the Camry, so an Eminem parody is going around the YouTubes up on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Will the real Mitt Romney please stand?
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Will the real Mitt Romney please stand up? I repeat, will the real Mitt Romney please stand up?
We're going to have a problem here.
Y'all act like you haven't seen a Mormon before. Drawers down on the floor. I'm not concerned about the very fool who got it wrong. Sorry, that's not what I meant. I want
every American to be at the top 1%.
I'm really named a Willard. That's my first name.
I'm not looking for a colony on the moon, just for someone to blame.
I like being able to fire people.
I'm Newt Gingrich.
You're fired.
I'm Rick Santorum, and I'm fired.
Boom, boom, boom.
Conservative women.
Love Mitt Romney.
And I love cars. I love lakes.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake,
with regards to abortion. Pro-life, pro-choice.
I firmly believe in my own singing voice.
Four purple mountains, majesty, above the fruited plain.
Oh, yeah. Dear
and then,
God.
And it goes on. But okay. The full thing is up on your Facebook
page. That's true. So. It's also on the Hump Days with Hal blog on HowSparks.com.
Wow.
How
look
do you like
that?
That.
And
yes.
Morning Joe will have it on in a few minutes and
that's
say
true.
He did.
Yeah. We don't even, I don't even know why we push our own sites at this point.
Look what I wrote and recorded this morning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm Joe Scarborough. Okay. Mittens last night.
I had successes and failures. But each step of the way, I learned a little bit more about what it is that makes our American system so powerful.
Mm.
You can't learn that teaching constitutional law at University of Chicago.
Snap.
What a dope. Because the road to becoming a constitutional law professor or head of the Harvard Law Review is it's all ups, no downs. Apparently.
Yeah.
Do you realize that?
That's hard
good.
Scrabble.
The other thing is how do you come out against Solyndra, for example? An example of, you know, of alternative energy elements that didn't go well. When you're saying that, you know, across the way you learn from your ups and your downs. If
oh,
Mitt
so you
Romney,
mean you've picked some winners and losers? You mean you've had some failing? Really?
Yeah, right, exactly. In Mitt Romney's case, he would, like Edison, you know, he keeps using that Edison analogy. Edison would have given up on the light bulb if Mitt Romney was in charge of it, I think, three versions in that didn't work. Yeah. So. I would have killed that dream early, my friends. It wasn't profitable.
We're having Matt Taibbi on from Rolling Stone later. Mm-hmm. He has written yet another just terrifying and vomitous.
I just think I'm gonna vibe.
Article on Bank of America. Mm-hmm. I'm reading the whole article though. It reminds me of Mitt Romney and Bain Capital.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly. It's the same thing. It's like he talks. Oh, I've had failures. You never paid. Bain Capital's never paid. You know, you're happy to fire people, send their jobs overseas, loot the company.
I've had failures whereby I made $1 billion.
Yeah,
we're
fired
a bunch of people.
I and my buddies at Bain. Right. Exactly. All right. Mittens again.
Today we move closer, not just to victory, but to a better America.
Mm.
Join us.
Join us.
Together.
See,
we're going
alien.
To ensure. That America's greatest days are still ahead. Thanks, you guys.
Prove that.
That America's greatest days
are
still ahead.
Yes.
I am the Rombot.
It's a cookbook!
I mean, in all honesty, isn't Romney's campaign slogan, resistance is futile? I mean, arguably.
I am the Rombot 2012.
Right.
To serve
pancakes.
To serve pancakes.
Mancakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh, these are mancakes.
Wait, Rick it's Santorum, a cookbook.
Rick Santorum's against that one.
The Paul Ryan budget is a cookbook. How to feed old people to...
Oh,
what?
Oh, and there's Frothy again bringing
South
up the...
and Blue is made of people.
Frothy bringing up the rear.
We won the areas that conservatives and Republicans populate, and we're very happy about that. We're happy about the delegates we're going to get, too.
Yay! Rick!
That was the point that Rachel was making last night on her show, that it didn't matter in the Illinois ballot who you were voting for as you wanted president. You had to vote for an assigned delegate that was already assigned to or already said they would be a delegate for Romney or they'd be a delegate for Santorum. So a lot of people could have rolled in there. Romney could have won by a big stretch and still not have the delegates promised going in.
Right. By the way, Hal, starting Monday, you'll say, I saw on fill in name of current show here. We don't know about any other networks. That's awesome. Oh, by the way, someone sent me a fourth place in Illinois after Ron Paul. Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, participation ribbon.
Thanks for coming, Newtie. Thanks for coming. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
so cool, like a human silly band.
Who? Who's a human silly band?
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, 34 minutes after the hour.
Dennis Miller ruined this song for me.
Seriously. Yeah, so sad.
All in my head, I hear, babe, chat, chat,
chat, chat. Kierkegaard.
Can't enjoy it anymore.
Luckily, Real Genius, I've watched it enough that it kind of reclaims it for you.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Real Genius,
I love that movie.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Fox Geniuses, I love this. I just want to know who might have bought this. During a recent Republican fundraiser, party activists bid on the chance to take a guided tour of Fox News with Dick Morris.
Oh, God.
This is where the best snack machines are. A note on the party's website said Dick Morris auctions himself as a personal tour guide for a visit to Fox News in New York and raises an additional $6,000. By the way, Media Matters subsequently asked Fox's vice president if they view that as appropriate since it benefits a political party, and Fox would never want to be seen
would never do
in
that.
Some way benefiting one particular.
That's crazy.
Is anybody paying attention to election law anymore? Citizens United
they're
just
America's
kind of
most trusted news source? Has it right on the logo.
Right. It's a trademark. It doesn't have to be true because it's a trademark, but it's there.
Fox News
written.
And Morris
they're fair and or balanced.
Have yet to reply to those questions.
Hmm.
He was eating a bag of cheesy poofs or something. I believe we have some.
Hello, welcome to Fox News. I'm your tour guide, Dick Morris, and we're walking. We're slow down here. You're walking too fast. We're sitting, catching our breath. You guys go ahead. I'll be here in the beanbag chair. I challenge you to tell where the chair starts and I end. Megan Kelly sat up the other day. She had no idea it was me until I tried to suck her toenails. She got so mad she tried to punch me in the neck, but she couldn't find them in all the fast folds. I sure showed her.
Well, sure.
And then he fell on a sack of hammers.
Yeah, because that's how it goes.
Yeah, as you do.
This is a man running, winded by a run-on sentence. I didn't even think of that, Jim. He just got through the first, and we're walking.
Really, honestly, you win a tour of Fox News by...
That's a dream come true, isn't it? Living the dream.
It's a little hard to argue, then, from Dick Morris's point of view, that you have stuff to do. If they're renting you out for a walk around. You know what I mean? Like, they don't bring you by to meet him. You could go by Dick Morris's office at Fox. No, he's going to walk you around because in between shows, he's not doing anything.
No,
like every other Fox News host, he's told what to say the second he steps into the studio. Right. That's why Bill O'Reilly, it always looks like he's just reading everything for the first time.
Yeah. They might have to hide all the teleprompters when there's a tour, probably.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, before we dive into the right-wing world, Katie writes, Staff, I was horrified to hear the Rush Limbaugh cut you played yesterday where he slurped the microphone to simulate Speaker Pelosi performing oral sex on the president. Yeah, in the wake of the whole Sandra Fluke thing, people seem to... There's some things that don't get the publicity they deserve, Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. And, for instance, this one.
Oh, okay, hold
yes,
on.
Yes, hang on,
we got it.
Hold, please.
Okay.
Thank you for the leadership you have provided already this year.
She made a dash for that microphone. As soon as he finished, let me tell you what she was doing that microphone. And she was pretending that microphone was a body part of Obama. That's exactly what's going on because she knows. She knows what's, I mean.
What is it? I like how
God.
He just kind of gets distracted by his own, like, I don't actually have a point, and he realizes it, so he just turns it into a fifth grade giggle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just in my own little frat house here, laughing myself silly.
I made it. Peter Joe.
Peter Joe.
I think he was enjoying making those sounds altogether too much.
Yeah.
That kind of made me, that made me sick.
I'm
going to
vibe. Sounds like he made, my mouth a little bit.
He maybe practiced that noise in the Dominican Republic.
Could be.
Are you
suggesting we're the off-market Viagra?
What? I'm just saying.
At least I could tell you what I did, my friends, over the weekend, but I can't.
That's exactly what he said.
Under advice of counsel. Of advice of counsel. That's weird when you go on vacation and your counsel suggests that you don't mention what you did.
Where you went, what you did.
But they probably said, don't say that you can't say. Just don't mention it at all. Oh, you big blowhard.
My lawyers tell me I can't tell you what I did this weekend.
All right, let's dive into
Yes. I'll show them. I'll make untoward sexual references about the Speaker of the House, you know, instead.
Mm. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, right. kids? Here we go. Bill Kristol on the Ripper.
I think what Paul Ryan has done is really a task of intellectual and political leadership, and it will now be up to him and to his colleagues, and above all, to the Republican presidential candidate to make the case that this is a better way forward than President Obama's.
Mm. Yeah,
no, it's the exact
that.
Same crappy way forward as the last one.
And guess what? Calling this a budget is like calling H.G. Wells' The Time Machine a blueprint for a time machine.
Yes.
There's nothing.
No, it's,
it's not a budget.
It.
We'll figure it out later. It's basically. It's, right. it's a series of goals. I'll give them that. But yeah. it doesn't vary anything
but
more than.
It's the same crap as last time with a different binder. I know. I'll put it in a green binder.
Yeah.
It's the same crap. It's the same cat tax cuts for the rich slash the safety net.
Right.
Just take it.
And we're going to protect Medicare. How? Well, we're just going to.
Vouchers.
Well, how? But exactly what cuts? Exactly what shifts are you going to make? Well, we're not going to, you know, we believe in saving Medicare. Well, then save it. Show me how you're going to do it. Well, I can't. We'll
put you in a time machine and send you
put us in charge and we'll run. We'll figure it out.
Send you to the end of time and then beyond the beach with the giant lobster.
Mm-hmm. I have a spurting head wound. You'll just put a voucher on that.
Yeah, right. Just staple your voucher to your head wound.
Ta-kunk, ta-kunk. Here's your sign.
This voucher works great. I've fallen and I can't get up. I'm using my voucher as a rope.
Because I'm eating cat food.
Yeah, right.
This voucher
it made
is delicious.
Me woozy. Mm.
Those weren't I'm eating an eyeball.
Those weren't real pieces of fish and peas. It said it on the can.
Because I'm eating ice
Paul Ryan brand cat food.
Cat food because right. you cut my Medicare. My son and my Social Security, so I was going down to the basement to get some more cat food, and I fell.
Paul Ryan's only future plans is, I don't care if this gets me voted out of Congress. That's because he's going into the cat food business.
All right, Eddie Munster, time to take your new plan.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Yep.
I won't go! I won't! I won't! I won't! You can't leave me! You can't! You can't! Mm. I'm not going to leave my friends! I'm not! I'm not! I'm not!
Mm-hmm. All right. Is his widow's peak getting more pronounced, or is it me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Steve Moore on the Fox News.
Hats off to Paul Ryan. I mean, this is a guy who is, I think, heroically and gutsily taken on these enormous entitlement programs and the enormous debt that's grown by $5 trillion over the last 4 years. You know, he's not a popular guy in Washington right now because he does want to cut back on some of these sacred cow programs like Medicare and Medicaid and food stamps. But I think almost all Americans realize we can't continue on this debt path of borrowing $1.5 trillion a year.
I have gutsily taken on the English language by adding a
gutsily.
Word. It's not even a word to describe.
Everybody, hats off to Paul Ryan, because you're going to need to hold your hat out in front of you when you're standing on a street corner trying to pay for cat food.
the ingredients of the cat food, none of your business.
Right.
That would be government regulation.
There's a great place in the Washington Post one of the points it makes is that Paul Ryan's budget, he projects that all discretionary spending will be reduced to 3.75% of the GDP by 2050. And it says, why is that a big deal? Because all category includes military spending, which, as CBO reminds us, has never dropped below 3% of GDP since World War II. So since it doesn't cut the military, that would leave less than 1% of GDP to fund the entire rest of the government.
Yeah.
Everything.
So, what's your point?
Roads and dams and everything.
Eat up,
border
grandma.
Security, the big wall.
Eat up, Grandma.
Yeah.
Wow.
All That'll
right.
make the cat lady die.
Steve Doocy.
Amazing.
Steve Doocy, Fox and Friends.
Meanwhile, back in 2008, Obamacare was more important than getting millions of Americans back to work. Remember how excited Joe Biden was when it passed?
We don't get tired of that.
You just don't. So why did the White House decide to ignore this week's second anniversary of Obamacare?
Because they had other things to do.
Yeah.
They're working on other things, Steve Doocy.
Yeah. Steve Doocy actually went, the Obama administration came out today to celebrate the second year anniversary of Obamacare and ignored jobs.
What are they supposed to do? Take it to Chuck E. Cheese for
Here's
a party?
Good idea.
Yeah.
Why are you ignoring the jobs numbers focusing on quote-unquote Obamacare as an element of your sales pitch as to why you would want...
Well, Mitt Romney mentioned it yesterday. Yeah. He said the economy's getting better. Oh, what have I just said?
Oops.
Don't. It's getting better, thanks to me.
Ooh. Yeah, the idea that I might be in office is driving the stock market through the roof.
Sure.
Sure.
People are so excited.
He hasn't had a job in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's the momentum that's driving it up. Okay, Charles Gasparino, Fox News.
He did feel like he wanted to give something back, that he wanted to be part of an effort to show Obama, who clearly has... listen, I don't think this is a political statement. He has some very anti-business instincts to maybe moderate him.
Yeah, that's why businesses are sitting on top of $2 trillion of cash stores. Why the CEO pay is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. That's just...
Stock market.
BP, Shell, Exxon, all of them, record profits.
It's all the socialism.
It's all that anti-business stuff that, you know, by the way, not just Obama, by the way. Clinton did too. Basically, every Democratic president apparently is so anti-business. That's why businesses always do better under a Democrat president.
All right.
Why won't Fox News hire you as a contributor?
I don't know. I can't get in the door. I used to be on Fox and Friends a long time ago.
Dick Martin.
And they stopped inviting me.
Some intellectual fluff for dessert, shall we? Intellectual fluffer nutter. Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade for dessert.
Geez. Barack Obama said, and Mr. Korn writes, that fed by Fox News, they hear Obama is a Muslim 24/7, and it begins to seep in. The Republicans have been at this for 40 years. They have new resources, but the strategy is old. So even though Barack Obama has said in the past, you know, I really don't watch cable news, looks like he watches cable news, and apparently he doesn't like it.
Yeah, what is he? I don't know what channel he's watching, but saying he's a Muslim 24 hours a day is 99.9% inaccurate.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about either.
I don't know. We don't say he's a Muslim. We bring on people who insinuate that he's a Muslim,
and we don't stop
and we don't
from,
disagree with them at all. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we reinforce their value as a spokesperson.
We keep bringing them back.
The power of forced inference.
Yeah. Those two are like television packing material. They're there, but what is it?
It's David Korn, and then they switched it to Obama as if David Korn is personal representative.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's how they skate around it.
Right.
Yes, that concludes another Obama.
We didn't say it today.
Someone sent me an email about something that's not so funny about right-wing world. Fox lied, elderly woman died.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seen that? Cheryl, you see this on Crooks and Liars. Yeah. Cheryl writes, this is from my friend Tracy. His mother died because she was afraid to go to the doctor and have Obama gather her information. This tragedy perpetuated from faux propaganda, Fox News propaganda, needs to be exposed. That's the whole, you know, the point is that, you know, you can make fun of Fox, but there are lies they're putting out there. They're scaring people that are really dangerous.
A woman died because of their propaganda.
That's right.
Yep. All right.
Thank you, Fox News.
Thanks, Fox. 46 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
No, just to the left. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wherever.
51. That's happening. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone with an amazing new article in Rolling Stone. When I say amazing, I mean, you know, vomit-inducing about Bank of America.
It kind of kept you up last night, didn't it?
Oh, dear God. It was just...
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Are we to believe that the mortgage debacle... led to the middle class being forced sort of out of their homes and then being forced to rent their own homes back to themselves while somebody else profits off of it. Let's hurry it up. Get them out of their houses. Get these rental properties going again. You can leech money off people.
Look alive, people. We're burning daylight. Everybody out of their houses.
Well, it's also their idea of good medical care. Obviously, is pharmaceutical drugs that don't cure anybody. That's the same kind of deal. Like, let's get people in renters and let's get them drugs that don't cure them, but they can stay on forever. Yeah. I mean, it's profit margin everything.
Yeah.
How do you profitize everything?
Give them drugs with side effects for which they need other drugs.
Exactly. Yes, cha-ching.
Why, funny. Exactly. We have a drug for that. It takes care of that side effect. And in hour three, we return to David Bender, who will break it down where we are now.
Break it down.
We all jumped there.
Yeah, we did.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Robin in Madison. Hey, Robin.
Hey, with all of this talk about Paul Ryan being a possible I want to be vice president,
yeah.
We need to bring up the fact yet again, because we've all forgotten, that Paul Ryan is the poster child for Social Security benefits. His
and
father
vampires.
Died when he was 11 years
right.
old.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, in glowing terms, how he bankrolled all that money as a young child, and that's what put him through college.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I am the mother of 5 kids, and I'm putting them all through college.
Mm-hmm.
And this just aggravates me to no extent for him to take money away from people to try and get rid of Social Security for the elderly
yep.
and stand up there and want to be the vice president
yep.
because this is how he got his education.
Robin,
something is very wrong.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, it's like,
and it's the same thing. How stupid does he think we are? It's literally that commercial. It's like, yeah, but this time I did this with my hands. It's the same,
well,
the same path to prosperity.
The idea is that he's in the lifeboat and he's pulling the ladder up after him. You didn't get there in time.
What's the path to prosperity for me?
Yeah, right.
He's the douchey rich guy in Titanic.
Exactly. Yeah, he's
no,
kicking your hands.
No, there's boats on the other side, Grandma.
Yeah, he's kicking your hands when you're on the side of it and acting like you're a freeloader trying to climb into his, this is my boat.
My boat.
I'm like, dude, it's... These are lifeboats for everybody. This is for emergencies. These are for situations like that. You benefited from this, and you're trying to take that benefit away from other people. And not just do that, but act as if they don't deserve it. That's the harsh part of it.
Right.
That's
Look at you with your graspy, drowning hands. Stop
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Up.
You're weak. It's a sign
Russell
of your weakness. I'm named after Ayn Rand. I must be more... I'm a bootstrapper. You can tell by my name, even though I lived off Social Security.
I'm on the boat. You're in the water. Enough said.
Yeah,
Russell
right.
in Delaware. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Russ.
How you doing, sweetheart?
Hello.
Now, as much as I enjoy our innuendo and all of that, I got to talk about something serious today.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to speak to the Stephanie Miller Show's main conspiratorialist.
Oh,
Jimmy in the house, brother?
Yes. I'm here.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think, you know, lemonade out of lemons, we do have something good that came out of this boy's murder in Florida that we can use.
Oh, we haven't gotten to that yet, but we will, Russell.
Yeah.
The Trevon, I'm sorry, I'm spacing, the shooting in Florida. I mean, it starts with a really stupid gun law in the first place, right, Russell? And it
right.
ends with a lot of this blatant racism that we're seeing mm-hmm. in regards to the president and elsewhere.
But I'm thinking, and help me out, make sure I got my facts straight, Jim. I'm thinking we can use this to keep another Bush out of the White House, in that Jeb Bush has always been able to say, I know you don't like my brother George, but don't blame me for his presidency and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he's the one, Jeb Bush himself is the one that set up all of this stand your ground crap that got the boy killed.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
we can, you think mm-hmm. we can possibly
I mean, how,
use that?
Yeah, how against common sense is that law? You can use deadly force if... Someone gives you a stank eye.
That's what it is.
Right.
That's exactly
you're
wearing a hoodie.
This guy was clearly pursuing this
yeah.
kid, not the other way around. I mean, it just, the whole thing is so, and he's called 911 how many times reporting
right.
a suspicious black youth, you
right.
know, and it's like, oh, I see another black kid, you got to come out and.
Well, he's sort of like, ironically, like that Jim Carrey character on Living Color,
mm-hmm.
this guy who just fancies himself this vigilante.
Yep.
But this is in real
yeah,
life.
For real.
And he murdered a kid.
Yeah, who's holding Skittles.
Yeah, or
you know, Skittles in the soda.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike.
Who's
well,
walking
black.
Swiftly away from him.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you would.
Yeah. Mike
that
in L.A.
That guy's running. You have a gun.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. You know, wasn't it Mitch McConnell that said his number one political priority was to make sure Obama
right.
was the one-term president?
Right.
Shouldn't his number one priority be to get people back to work? It seems like no matter what this president does to help this country, Republicans are against it. If Obama came out with a plan that would work to bring unemployment down to 4% and cure cancer, they would say, no, 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 we can't have that because anything that makes Obama look good makes Republicans look bad.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
you're right. They
cancer
actually
keeps the population down.
Yeah. They've been there's a bunch of areas where they've actually stopped the plan, even though they know it would lower unemployment, specifically because they don't want it to go down this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were doing a story yesterday,
my
Alan.
My priority is more lettuce and turtle tunnels.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
You have a firm grasp.
And here, also, so. By the way, firing all these state workers mm-hmm. under the guise of, tightening our fiscal belt is part of keeping the unemployment rate artificially high as the recovery happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's doing it,
by the way. Yeah, I mean, by the way, we'll get to this later, but we talked about the two-year anniversary of the health care law, and it is infuriating how mm-hmm. they're just trying to block, delay every section of the law, but that would help people. Because it's about defeating Obama. I mean, now insurers are saying, hey, if they get rid of the mandate, we're going to be able to, we're taking people off that have pre-existing conditions. Here we go.
Yep.
You know? 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days. Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right, and I feel good.
Woohoo, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We debut. Monday, March 26th, set your DVRs on Current
TV. I beg your pardon.
Live. It is Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. We're just looking on TV. The mainstream media kills me. Mitt Romney raises $11 million, and there's momentum, and he's the nominee. And meanwhile, I'm listening yesterday. Obama raises $45 million last month, and I'm listening to ABC News. They're like, which was not really on par with his pace last time.
Well, and again, his is from actual donors.
Yes. Right.
And Mitt's is like 9 billionaires and 9 people who put
only the mainstream media could spin $45 million is not that good. I mean, it was a historic election, of course, and we're not even getting started yet.
And
he raised $45
million. You know, who have $20 to their name, to a large extent.
Right.
So that's pretty impressive.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the regular old website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Katie writes, Steph, see you the 31st in Albuquerque. My friend and I saw you in Santa Fe. We love Aisha, but so happy to get to see Hal this time
in
Albuquerque.
I know.
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
It's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
Come on. Idiots.
Very exciting. By the way, Washington Post ABC poll.
Yes.
One of the curious parts of it, besides the fact that they're losing independents like crazy, the GOP candidates, is that they all have a net unfavorable rating.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the above.
And Mitt's only getting warmed up.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Even in the general. And his
Rick
is just
Santorum.
Like
interestingly enough, Rick Santorum has the lowest unfavorable of all of them.
Well, he's earnest.
Isn't he?
In
I think it's
horrible,
the sweater vest.
That's
going to give you an extra 2%.
Yes.
Right there. That's why a lot of serial killers and.
Yeah,
and,
my sister said that the other day. She goes, well, you know, at least
sketchy Cub Scout leaders.
He believes something. It's awful, but he believes it. Loretta,
what? The true believer argument is scary because so is Koresh. So you know what I mean. At a certain point,
we were saying
Charles Manson's a true believer.
Right.
It matters what you believe.
Yes. No, we were saying that Newt Gingrich is running on big ideas, and we're like, well, they're
big dumb ideas.
Right. And we're saying, aren't most really horrible ideas big?
Right.
Aren't you, when you think of your biggest mistakes, you're like, I've got it.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Eureka. Let's invade Russia in the winter.
Loretta in Florida.
I'm going to build an aircraft carrier out of marshmallows.
Exactly. It's a huge idea.
Hey, Loretta.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know, I hope I'm the first, I just TiVo'd your new upcoming program, and now I'll get it every single morning. I'll never miss another show.
Oh,
yay!
All right.
I guess I better start
shaving. We'll see you Monday. Yeah, Jim's going
to
shave for you.
You know.
He's going to shave and put on some Aqua Velva for you. All right.
And, my,
and then he'd smell like my dad.
My dad. You know, I'm going to buy Jim Old Spice
like
for
dad,
our debut Aqua Monday.
Yeah. You know how they break down the, you know, and do you like them? Do you like them strongly or slightly? But that kind of thing. Okay. Mitt Romney's favorability rating.
Yes.
35 net, 35% favorability rating. 45% negative.
Mm-hmm.
26% of that is somewhat favorable. 9% is strongly favorable. What do you want to guess that part of that 9% is 6% of people going, I do like him. I do. I really do
like him.
Of course I like him. He's awesomest. He beats the heck out of Obama for everything.
I'm going to change my name to Romney.
Yeah, meh, Romney. Yeah.
Methinks my lady doth promote too much.
Shortly after he wrapped up his victory remarks yesterday, Mitt Romney emailed out a fundraising appeal with the subject line, Time to Close. His advisor said, I think it's another sign the Republican Party is uniting behind Romney's candidacy.
No.
At some point, the reality is going to set in that Mitt is the all but certain nominee, or as Charlie Pierce calls it, the forced march to Mitt.
Mitt Romney, resistance is futile. 2012.
Deirdre in Madison.
The hey, Ogden Death March.
Hey, so the douche eponymous that is Paul Ryan, I would like to complain about. Sadly, I lost my grandmother 2 weeks ago to gallbladder cancer. Mm. It happened quite quickly. Found out in September. She went through exploratory surgery, which she was scared to death wasn't going to get covered because Rush Limbaugh said so. And my grandma, calm down. It's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Went through everything, went through 2 rounds of chemo, went to Florida to live out the last days of her life, and got 24-hour in-home hospice care. Mm-hmm. 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that is not being paid for by my family. We could not afford that.
Right.
Ever. I'm trying to figure out how the $7,000 voucher program, that is going to happen to my mother or my father or, God forbid, me or something happens to my daughter, who's going to take care of that? Yeah,
here's some green stamps. Good luck.
Yeah. And here's the other part they don't tack on. That $7,000, by the way, is going to go even – it won't even go that far because they're going to repeal the elements of – of the Affordable Care Act that make insurance companies cover you even with a pre-existing condition, even if you've been dealing with it. So they can kick you off. At a certain point, they'll just do the math and go, well, you're not worth saving. And that's the argument they always make about the Affordable Care Act is that it's going to be rationed care, when that's exactly what would happen with a voucher system.
Did you not know this headline was coming? Health insurers will deny coverage for pre-existing conditions if the health mandate is repealed.
Right, because there's no money in it.
Yeah. The insurance industry argues premiums are likely to skyrocket without the individual mandate in place to... that's what Mitt said. Remember? Mm-hmm. When he wrote the article about how it should be the template for a federal plan? Remember when he... in place to aid in pushing millions of new enrollees into the marketplace, as healthy people will be less likely to buy insurance, while insurers will still be required to sell policies to all applicants. In fact, a repeal of the individual mandate would increase insurance premiums by 25%, according to a new study. Health insurance officials say if the mandate is repealed, their first priority will be persuading members of Congress to repeal two of the law's major insurance changes, a requirement to cover everyone, regardless of their medical history, and limits on how much insurers can vary premiums based on age. The next step would be to set rewards for people who purchase insurance voluntarily and sanction those who don't. I mean, this is exactly why you need the mandate. I mean, it's...
Right.
And if they manage to shoot down Obamacare, then single payer. That's the only option.
Oops. Oh, that'd be awful.
Right through the back door.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. They have no interest in any of this actually working. I mean, most of these guys are trying to just cash out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the guys who are in Congress, on the Tea Party win, that arc, are just in and out. They just want to go in, wreck the government, and split.
Right.
Yep. By the way, did you guys see this story? Tommy sends us this headline, Deaf Student Speechless After Obama Responds to Him in Sign Language.
Wow.
I
didn't know he knew American Sign Language.
Stephon stood just a few feet away from Barack Obama. The president, busy shaking
Show
hands,
off.
Looked right at him. It was like he was waiting for me to say something, he said. So the student took his cue and spoke to President Obama in his first language, American Sign Language. I'm proud of you. Stephon signed. The president almost involuntarily, instinctively signed back, thank you.
Wow.
Stephon said, when I shook his hand, it did not feel like he was superior to me. It was just a humble man.
Oh, he thinks he's so great.
can sing and do sign language.
He's so superior to you.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Tommy says,
that
compare
guy you
the...
want to have a beer with, like George Bush, and you couldn't
by the
have
way,
a beer
speaking
with,
which, Tommy
throat.
Says, compare the class and grace of the president with that of the unelected hack-wit W when yeah. he made fun of a blind reporter's sunglasses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you take your sunglasses off, Skippy?
Take off your sunglasses. What's wrong with you? Are you blind? Oh.
Trying to be cool? Well, this is just another example of our Muslim Kenyan president refusing to be English only.
Yeah.
Okay,
what is that? American Sign Language.
Yeah.
That's not like American.
Is it French? Yeah.
This shocks me that
well,
the...
Well, it is, I guess. Okay.
The website's owner of, you know, the owner of the Don't Renege in 2012 stickers,
yep.
Paula Smith, she hails from Hinesville, Georgia.
Oh,
she insists
bless
that
your heart.
Neither she nor the sticker are racist.
Uh-huh.
She said, I find it amazing and entertaining that one of our stickers has become a racist thing. She even tried arguing the dictionary doesn't define the N-word as racist.
Oh, well, okay then.
Wisely,
it's
Forbes
the
magazine.
Dictionary?
Yeah. Posted the actual definition.
Written in crayon?
From dictionary.com. Which says the word is now probably the most offensive word in English. Its degree of offensiveness has increased markedly in recent years, although it has been used in a derogatory manner since at least the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, but that's, what is that, fourth down? I don't read very far into things. I mean, all I got to read is fair and balanced. That's all I need to know. It's
Lori.
Fair and balanced. I'll just listen from that point on. I don't have to pay attention to any of the details or any of that secondary stuff.
Lori and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lori.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Spectacular.
But I am Mormon, born and raised, and I have to say that I want to be the official Mormon of the Stephanie Miller Show that thinks Mitt Romney is the absolute worst.
Yay!
Hooray.
I'm embarrassed that he is exactly the stereotypical rich old white guy sitting on his throne preaching. Do you know that the Mormon church does not let women hold positions of power? Do you know, like, even what goes on there? Mm-hmm. I'm born and raised in it, and clearly I've parted ways with them because I'm hungover today. And I'm in absolute shock that somebody can look at Mitt Romney, especially this whole group of Mormons, and think that this is the way to go. I'm in shock. So
well,
just wanted to call and say hi. And
Lori, you know what's interesting? I don't know if you know this, but in every election he's run, and including in these primaries, a huge majority of Catholics vote against Rick Santorum. I mean, so, you know, just being a certain religion, believe me, does not, you know...
necessarily guarantee
right.
you that support. The other thing, though, is that for... and many of the issues you have with the Mormon Church are certainly valid in face, you know, their attitude towards black people and women till recent times is of great issue. However, one of the big things that they try to be... good about is the fact that they don't lie. They try to be extraordinarily honest, if so, if more so. But then Mitt Romney puts
Romney
out these ads.
Romney appears to have strayed a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, and then admittedly welcomes the lie. That's perfectly valid. That's a valid tool in the fight against Barack Obama is lying.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I should point out the fun fact that the 2% of Catholic women that do not use birth control, Rick Santorum was like Elvis to them.
Yeah.
He has that nail down. Bam!
And they're old enough to actually be Elvis
booyah!
Fans.
Nothing
so
but net.
Did you really just say booyah?
Booyah! Those 2% of Catholic women.
And they're nuns.
There,
yeah,
that, there's
yeah.
your Santorum mm-hmm. surge right there. Okay.
Yeah, those are the ones married to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. 18 minutes after the hour. Kids, going online to purchase products and services is something we all do every day. It's all I do. As we know, I don't leave my house.
Right.
I'm studio house, studio house. I'm like a little Flintstones background.
You have your eggs delivered.
Yes.
What? And your meat.
I have a milkman.
Do you really?
No.
Oh,
e-commerce
no,
can
I
be
milkman anymore.
E-commerce can be complicated, costly, and ineffective, but not if you use BigCommerce. I'm telling you, you're missing out if you're not selling online. BigCommerce makes it easy to set up and run a successful and professional online business. BigCommerce, the fastest-growing e-commerce company in the world, brings a complete set of features that will help you build a successful e-commerce business, from web design to accounting to selling your products through social networking sites, with strong customer service support 24/7. Hello!
Yep, that almost sounds like we're in favor of capitalism here on this show.
Boy,
what?
Howdy.
We can't be that way.
BigCommerce, the solution to drive the most sales for your business right away. Here's an incredible limited-time offer for my listeners to get you started. 2 months free to build a fully functional store at no expense. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. Set up your free store today. Go to BigCommerce.com. Click on that there radio microphone at the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. Type in my name, Stephanie, BigCommerce.com. Click on the microphone. Type in Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Al Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me
her. Yeah, it is the Stephanie
great
Miller.
Melody.
Thanks.
Oh, it is catchy. Come on. You were bouncing in your chair, too.
Not all songs serve the same purpose, Jim.
Yeah. Lay off my ting-tings.
Exactly. 25. Which Bob Dylan songs do you want them to be doing? Do you want them to touch the songs you like, or do you want to leave them alone and go do their thing?
Would you like us to come back with Blowin' in the Wind?
Sure.
All right, we will.
Oh, God.
25 minutes after
By these
hour.
Girls?
By the ting-tings?
By the ting-tings.
That'd be interesting, actually.
Mike in Queens, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
It's Stephanie, it's me, your New York City milkman.
Oh, hey.
You didn't have
there
a milkman.
Are milkmen.
Mama, you just make the, give me the word, and I'll make the delivery. I'll come right to your door.
How come there is, Mike, let me ask you something. How come there are so many "my kid looks like the milkman" jokes? Are, you know, are milkmen inherently sluts or what?
Yes.
Well, that's, you wait till the husband goes to work, and then you go to work.
I appreciate his candor.
Six, and that was refreshing. Mike in Minneapolis. Hello, Mike.
Hi. I heard on my favorite radio station that I don't exist anymore.
Oops, did I make you the official milkman?
I am the official milkman, I would hope, yes.
Yeah, I'm the eggman.
That other guy. I'm the walrus.
Mm-hmm. I sell eggs, too.
Oh, you deliver eggs door to door.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
And frozen foods and milk and dairy products and all sorts of things.
Wow,
so cool.
Knew?
Wow.
Like milk in bottles?
No.
Cartons.
Select milk.
Okay. Right.
I think I'm the official Eggman of the show.
They are the Eggman.
You make Stephanie produce eggs.
See,
when
that's
you get,
what I mean.
When you get close to her.
That was a fluke. It was, it was around Easter, and I thought my eggs were resurrected, but no. They've gone back to dust in the wind.
I'm a magician, not a miracle worker.
All they are is dust
in the wind.
Okay. Yeah, we can come back out of commercials with that.
I have a use them or lose them policy.
Bill in Washington State. Hey, Bill.
Hi. You were talking about the young deaf person who had the opportunity to meet Obama and signed to him that he was proud of him, and Obama instinctively signed back that thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And the young man said that he seemed so humble and didn't seem like he was better than him at all, or didn't think he was better than him at all.
Right.
You know, that's the sign, one of the signs of a truly great person, mm-hmm. someone who can walk among the great yet never forget the common touch.
Yep.
You know, Obama, people forget, and you hear some talk show hosts say that he's really a shill for the corporate interest in this country, but they forget this young man went to Harvard Law School.
Yep.
He was the editor-in-chief of the Law Review at that law school. When he came out of law school, he could have gone to any job in the country. Any legal job with any of the major firms in the world would have accepted him. My daughter graduated 3 years ago from Harvard Law School, and she told me that on the very first day, their first orientation day, they were told, the race is over and you won. Everybody in this room, you won. Every one of you is going to get a great job coming out. Yet what did Obama choose to do? He chose to go work with poor people.
Yeah.
When he
could
have had a job paying him $300,000 a year right out of law school.
I mean, and look at Mitt Romney. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying every campaign, every Republican or every Democrat this way or that way. But you know what I mean? It's like that. Talk about that's the poster child for just out for yourself, just out to make money. You're not. And that's what we were talking the other day, Hal, about people's post-presidency and vice presidencies. And you look at Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter and Al Gore.
Mitt Romney had a hard scrabble upbringing.
But I mean,
he had to live in France.
Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, Sarah Palin, what have they done? Maybe I missed it. Have they done something for someone else?
Well, certainly, you know, W has been on vacation ever since, and he was going to make a lot of money touring the international scene giving speeches on policy, you know, unless somebody is following him with a you know, box of Carrot Top like props or something like that, or really is like, you know, Cirque Bush kind of show.
Cirque du Bush.
Yeah, right.
He can duck shoes like nobody's business.
Absolutely,
well,
yeah.
There is that.
Yeah, he could tour around like that. It's kind of like in a duck thing where he's just kind of running back and forth and you chuck shoes at him.
He could make a lot of money at that.
He could make
actually.
A lot
Thanks
of money.
For this economy.
Yeah.
Thing. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Matt Taibbi of the Rolling Stone.
You got me. Missed again.
Right
too fast for you.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Seriously, are you for real?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, dear. This is the bad thing about insomnia. I read this entire Matt Taibbi article in the Rolling Stone. It is. That'll keep me up for several more nights now. Jim,
yes?
Who said Bank of America is the very definition of an unaccountable corporate villain? It has defrauded everyone from investors and insurers to homeowners and the unemployed.
Mitt Romney.
No. A really bad guess. Matt Taibbi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would have thought that would Mitt Romney. I would have thought he seems...
Who said it comes down to this? These guys are some of the very biggest holes on earth. They lie, cheat, and steal as reflexively as addicts. They laugh at people who are suffering and don't have money. They pay themselves large salaries with money stolen from old people and taxpayers. And on top of it all, they completely suck at banking. Who said that?
Sheldon Adelson.
No, such bad guesses this morning. No, Matt Taibbi. One last one. By looking the other way and rewarding the bank's bad behavior with a massive government bailout, we actually allowed a huge financial company to not just grow so big its collapse would imperil the whole economy, but to get away with any and all crimes it might commit. Too big to fail is one thing. It's also far too corrupt to survive. Who said that?
Paul Ryan.
Oh, my God. Those are the worst guesses in Guess the Quote ever. It was Matt Taibbi.
who joins us
now from the Rolling Stone. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Those are good guesses.
Yeah,
we were in the ballpark. It's hard.
Matt, you know, as usual, it's just really an excellent and horrible article all at once. I think it literally made me sick to my stomach. I mean, it's almost too stunning to be believed, isn't it, the scope of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we wanted to do with this piece is sort of show people what too big to fail is. And, you know, Bank of America is sort of the worst case scenario for a too big to fail bank. They continually get in a lot of trouble. And so what we wanted to do is sort of list all the things that your tax dollars are going to support. And it's just a really long list of stuff, of bad stuff that this bank is involved with and that we, you know, indirectly are supporting, or even directly.
Of course, my eyes were drawn to the picture of the two white men with giant buildings coming out of their pants. You say Bank of America was the product of one of the most elaborate penis measuring contests in the history of business. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the bank... It sort of grew out of the rivalry between these two Southern CEOs. One was Hugh McCall, who was the head of Nations Bank, which eventually became Bank of America, and the other guy was Ed Crutchfield, who ran First Union. These guys actually, they had corporate offices that were almost literally across the street from each other in Charlotte. And they were constrained initially from expanding because of the regulatory rules up until the mid-80s that prevented any banks from crossing state lines. In other words, you could really only own banks within one state. Those regulations started to get watered down in the 80s. They completely fell apart in the early 90s. And so these guys went on a buying spree, and they were so obsessed with each other that they actually went as far as continually building skyscrapers that were taller than the others. So it really was like a penis measuring contest. McCall actually got asked eventually when he finally had the tallest one. He said, he actually said out loud, "I prefer to have the taller one."
It's interesting. I have realtor friends that tell me, "Oh, Bank of America is just horrible to deal with." But I mean, you don't even know the half of it till you read your article and how deliberate it is. I mean, it's that's what I think is just so stunning.
Yeah, I think that's the part that people don't get about the robo-signing scandal, for instance. Most people, when they heard that reported in the news, they got this idea that, oh, you know, the banks got some of their paperwork mixed up. And so it's not that big a deal. You know, the people still owed the money. The people who were being foreclosed upon, it wasn't like they weren't delinquent. It was just a paperwork problem. Well, the paperwork problem was that the bank simply stopped doing paperwork.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not only did they stop doing paperwork, they stopped doing things like paying the local fees for deed transfers. You know, if you or I go to sell a mortgage or, you know, a home loan, you have to go to your local county clerk's office and physically register the transfer, and you got to pay a little fee, you know, $20, $25, whatever it is. Well, the banks got fed up with doing that. They didn't want to pay those little fees, which amounted to tens of millions of dollars or more every year. So they created their own private electronic registry system. They didn't ask for permission to do it, and they just stopped paying these fees, and they stopped keeping their paperwork. And that's what the robo-signing thing was. From then on, whenever they want to...
Yeah, we don't have that document. Somebody, right, we'll just make it up. Yeah.
It's all gone. So let's just go recreate it. And they literally created these whole departments full of people whose job it was to commit perjury. They just made up these documents, and they signed them with titles like vice president, and they were entry-level pimply kids half the time. And, you know, so that gives you an indication of the way these companies approach the law. It's just a joke to them.
I mean, let's get to the part that affects me, because that's the part that I immediately was like, well, that's terrible. Hey, wait a minute. Because you talk about, actually, my mortgage rate happens to be tied to LIBOR.
Right.
Yeah, and you're saying that they're even manipulating that?
Yeah, there's a burgeoning scandal involving, I have to admit, not just Bank of America, but all of the big, too big to fail banks. They were originally sued by the city of Baltimore, believe it or not, and there are a number of actions now internationally being brought against these banks. And the suspicion is that all of these big banking institutions got together and they sort of agreed that they somehow managed to suppress LIBOR, because, you know, of course, LIBOR is based on the rate at which banks lend to each other. So there is a way that if banks got together and colluded, they could reduce the LIBOR interest rate. And what they were really trying to do is get away from paying high interest rates on various financial instruments that they were on the other side of. So
yeah.
These guys actually went so far as to manipulate, you know, global interest rates. And you know, the case hasn't been adjudicated yet, but that's what they were accused of.
And you talk about, you know, the mortgages that they were giving out. I mean, I can tell you, I'm one of those people, and these guys here can testify, I'm much luckier than I am smart, but I was out of work for a year when I got no doc loan. I mean, they're just lucky that I lucked into another job, because, you know, you're absolutely right. They were giving these mortgages that really had no chance of being repaid.
Well, right, and the reason for that is they weren't going to hold your mortgage. This whole game was all about, let's create a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of assets, they call it on Wall Street, and we'll dress it up with a bunch of fancy math, and we'll get a nice rating on it, and then we'll go out into the world and sell it to institutional investors like unions and pension funds and foreign retirement funds, and so those were the people who are going to end up buying your mortgage, except that when they went to go sell it to these people, it had a AAA rating on it. They had a way to securitize and pool these mortgages so that the crappiness of the mortgages could be disguised. And that's what they were doing. And so Bank of America right now is facing an avalanche of lawsuits from all these people, you know, from the state of Mississippi, the state of New York, the L.A. County Retirement Fund, foreign banks. They were all, they believe, tricked into buying mortgages that were of much worse quality than were represented.
Well, yeah, and the other, I mean, just the array of things they thought of. Bank of America won a public contract to distribute unemployment benefits, then gouged the jobless with ATM fees. I mean,
yep. Yeah, no, that's another great one. Yeah, the Bank of America's got this contract in a number of states to distribute unemployment benefits. People would get prepaid Bank of America ATM cards. They got that. Also, there's another couple of states where they were doing welfare benefits. And the problem here is that if you didn't use exactly the Bank of America ATM machine to withdraw those benefits, you often had to pay a penalty, as high as $10 in some cases. So, I understand the rationale of outsourcing this kind of work to a private bank, but, that's probably not what we had in mind when we were paying out these benefits.
Matt, I was happy to hear, Hal Sparks just said there's a new poll out showing Elizabeth Warren pulling ahead of Scott Brown in Massachusetts. But
great.
But she's only one person. And, I mean, I guess what I always get to at the end of your articles is, oh, my God, what can we do? Because you're right. The Bush administration and the Obama administration made this would tank the entire economy. And it doesn't seem like Dodd-Frank, people like Scott Brown, watered it down, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
so what do we do?
It's true. The one thing about all these companies, these too big to fail companies, is that a lot of them are because they're corrupt and because they haven't put a lot of effort into being good companies, because stealing is so much easier.
Sure.
A lot of them are in really, really bad shape financially. And so the slightest thing could really destroy one of these companies. And I think they're vulnerable in certain places. For instance, Bank of America last year, they transferred a huge portion of Merrill Lynch's derivatives portfolio from Merrill Lynch to its own balance sheet, Bank of America's balance sheet. And the reason for that is that they have FDIC insurance on Bank of America's side. They did this so that if they took losses, the government would come in and pay for them. But I think that even conservatives don't want that to happen. I think if enough members of Congress got together and said, hey, we want you to put that stuff back on Merrill Lynch's books, that would essentially destroy the company, because a lot of Bank of America's creditors would back out at that point, and then you'd have a run in the bank.
Well, I think the point...
They seem more invulnerable than they are, is what my point.
Yeah, and the point you make, I think, which is a really good one, is that they are felons. They've admitted to being felons. Why are they getting taxpayer money? You know, if this were... a person, right? This would never happen.
Right, yeah. If you commit a felony in a lot of states, you can't even vote. So how is it, Bank of America got somewhere upwards of $90 billion in emergency lending from the Federal Reserve, and nothing about their status changed after they got caught doing all these different things. They got $45 billion in bailout money. They got $118 billion in government guarantees. Then there was all this emergency lending from the Fed. They were allowed to move all that stuff from Merrill Lynch. Time after time, we allow them to do these things, and we throw money at them. But they're criminals. They continue to be caught doing all these awful things, and it just doesn't change their profile. It doesn't make any sense.
Corporations are people, my friend. You would never go to prison.
Right.
Yeah, big banks are people, my friend.
Yeah, they don't have cells big enough to hold.
Wow, Matt Taibbi, good luck to you when you try to use your ATM card next. Too crooked to fail in the new Rolling Stone. It is. If you need to lose a few pounds, it's a good. It's like taking. It's like Epicac.
Yeah.
It made me yak. But it was really, really great stuff. Matt Taibbi, always a pleasure. Come back again real soon.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah. There you go.
Wow. Great work. And fortunately or unfortunately, makes like very difficult financial issues easy to comprehend and digest.
Right. You're like, penis measuring. I get that.
He's a brilliant writer. Yeah. He really is.
And, right. But part of the problem is that while the problems are complex, the solutions are relatively simple in that they're just broken companies that can't be trusted. It's that simple. You don't even need to go into the deep reads of how bad they are. Why?
Yeah.
It's so bad.
One solution. Send some money to Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's go, Boots. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. We return to David Bender after the top of the hour to talk about the primaries, etc. By the way, I love this part of the story today. Romney no longer wants to be perceived as the weak frontrunner who cannot win the hearts and souls of the voters of the core of his own party. Okay, well.
Well, but
did
you
he,
are.
Did he want to be known as that at some point?
Yeah. I would like to be queen.
Yeah.
I'd like to be perceived as a cardboard cutout.
I thought it would be cute for a while to be perceived that way.
Yeah, the way that was written, it sounded like he wanted to be that way for a little while, yeah. But now it's not. It's no longer fun.
It's really make getting it tired,
so.
Actually.
Make it so. Greg in...
get more pancakes when you're winning.
Greg in Indianapolis. Hey, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening on Monday's podcast because I'm one of those people who's a day or two behind.
Yes.
And the whole windmill on the roof for Romney and Seamus.
Yes.
And
yes.
One time Romney said that Seamus actually wanted to be up there.
Yeah, so yeah. He jumped up there himself.
Yeah.
What?
Well, after hearing Romney sing a few times, I can believe that.
Yes, it's not, right. Not entirely.
Okay.
He didn't jump in front of the car.
Over spacious skies.
Again.
Turnout,
something
you're right,
your spindle.
Among the lowest in decades.
Yeah.
Around 20%, the turnout in the Illinois.
Yeah,
the
enthusiasm gap much. I love how they try to compare this to, you know, the Hillary-Obama fight of, you know, 2007 leading to 2008. Yeah, and it's because you had two candidates.
Record high turnout.
Very passionate about record high turnout. Now it's like, all right. It's like that's all that's left. Among
Senator Durbin said you could draw a bigger crowd at the Green Bay Packers rally downtown in Chicago than Mr. Romney delivered at the polls. Oh, Dick.
I don't know.
Dick.
That 1/8 filled stadium was a sight to see, wasn't it? It was magic.
Romney was moving on to Maryland. He has the lead there. Louisiana voting Saturday, where, of course, he probably will lose.
Louisiana. That's why they call it Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Get it?
Santorum said he had outpolled Romney in the downstate Illinois areas that conservatives and Republicans populate. He said, we're very happy about that. We're happy about the delegates we're going to get. Saddle up like Reagan did in the cowboy movies. Oh, can we? Is there any chance we can have a moratorium on Reagan references for the rest of the primary or no?
No.
I don't think Reagan is the person that they think he was.
My cowboy boots have tassels on them.
Yeah.
Yet not by any stretch of the imagination.
Rick Santorum doesn't use a teleprompter. He just wings it.
I don't care what the unemployment rate's going to be. It doesn't matter to me.
Wow. Okay. Good luck with that.
Somebody ought to get a teleprompter.
I do care about the unemployment rate. It does bother me.
And then Mitt Romney made his own gaffe at a town hall.
Look, let me tell you something. If you're looking for free stuff... If you're looking for free stuff you don't have to pay for, vote for the other guy.
Okay.
That's what he's all about, okay?
All
that's
righty
not,
then.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm about.
Yeah, you know what? Stuff. You know what, Mittens? I think we will. In fact, I think we will.
By the way, it's not free stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're paying for it with our taxes.
Yeah. Right.
We're getting a return on our investment.
It's just selective coverage based on religious preference, which
is less than a week after saying he would get rid of Planned Parenthood. This is a town hall in Illinois. He told a voter to vote for the other guy if she wanted access to free birth control, said the federal government should not subsidize women's health care through Planned Parenthood. By the way,
which he said he would get rid of, even though it's not a government organization.
Romney has also called for cutting funds for Title X, the only federal program devoted to family planning from the federal budget. He also endorsed the so-called Blunt Amendment to allow any employer to drop health insurance coverage for contraception and other health services on moral grounds. Spoke out against requiring employers and insurers to provide birth control coverage at no additional cost. I think a lot of people are going to vote for the other guy. Thanks for asking, Mittens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a super idea. Thank you.
It's almost the equivalent of, like, Santorum going, I don't care about unemployment, and Mitt going, I'll one-up him. I don't care about women.
I don't care about the entire women's vote.
Yeah. I don't care about people.
Michelle in Michigan. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I want to be the official ex-Catholic girl who used to make up sins for confession because I couldn't remember them. Martyr of the Stephanie Miller.
All right, Michelle.
Our Lady of Perpetual Fibbing.
I think I did that, too.
Pathetic. You know, a 10-year-old trying to say what horrible things she did in confession.
Yeah, I know. You just because you had to think of something because they forced you to go. So you'd be I shot a guy in Reno just to watch him die.
And pure thoughts, word
on our head. God, they should have paid us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
all right,
anyway, okay, I did want to say, too, the reason that I'm going to be the official martyr is we did go to the Santorum rally in Lincoln Park. Yes, that was the same, you know, the infamous same day was the Romney rally. Mm-hmm. You had to pay $80 to go in a completely empty stadium.
Aye, they.
That one. So the Santorum one, of course, was closer to home. So
yeah.
We went there. There were about 10 nuns there.
ten nuns. That was
that's it?
That the Santorum rally?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
No,
the 2% of Catholic women.
There were a bunch
women,
of other yahoos, too. But, yeah, there were 10.
Yep, there they were. The 2% that don't use birth control. There you go. Nicely
because,
done, Frothy.
Because he's profoundly pro-life. Again, begging the question, if God is pro-life, why does everything die?
Bro, Wanda in Chicago. Hey, Wanda.
Everything dies. Everything dies.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Hey, Hal, I loved you in Chicago. You were amazing.
Thank you.
Extraordinary low turnout yesterday. It was pathetic. Mm-hmm. But I worked in a hospital, and when everything, when the Affordable Care Act got signed, they started having all these procedures about, okay, things are going to change, and we have to, you know, learn to be compliant, which is if you are discharged and you're readmitted within 3 days, there's a likelihood that the hospital is not going to get reimbursed for that first day because they didn't do their job. It's about quality of care. And I love the fact that they're making them pay attention
mm-hmm.
yeah.
to what you're actually there for without just going, you know, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Right.
Yeah, like the revolving door that it is.
Yep, exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, David Bender, political strategist extraordinaire, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, one...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Is walking about on sunshine, but what about the waves?
Mm.
Wouldn't they just evaporate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So selfish. No room for the waves. Only Katrina. Whatever. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hot Sparks.
Hello.
Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook, sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. By the way, this just in-house, social media king.
Yes, at Hal Sparks on Twitter. You can call me at Hal Sparks from now on.
Jezebel.com yeah. brings us the news that the more
Jezebel.
Facebook friends you have, the bigger hole you are.
The more
a
what?
A bigger hole you are.
Okay.
A new study from Western Illinois University found a direct link between Facebook use and entitled narcissistic behavior among American college students. Broadly, well, the more Facebook friends you have, the more of a complete you are. All right. Thank you.
Now, does having all these friends on Facebook cause it, or is having all those friends a cause of
who
being?
Who can say?
Who can say?
And don't even get me started on LinkedIn.
I didn't.
No, yeah. I am not. Do no. not want to join your invitation.
I did.
Not to LinkedIn.
I did
10,000 invitations.
Stop sending them.
I did my own informal poll of Western Illinois University students when I was living in Chicago or whatever, and I
yes.
and I think that.
Yeah. Is that what the kids are calling it? Yeah. Informal polling?
Yeah, informal polling. And,
I know you've done a little bit of that.
I found that they seem to be sensitive to the idea that you might have more than one friend.
That's
just
not
saying,
news
they got a little touchy
I've,
when you were
I've,
talking to more than one person.
I've been on the road with you.
Yeah. They got a little.
Or as he calls it, informal polling. All right. A lot of.
I've been running my own informal poll for quite some time.
How's that going for you?
Oh, yeah. My findings are that America's looking better and better all the time, and I'm optimistic for the future. My own informal poll makes me optimistic for America's
future. Are there any
more
openings in your for your
Good Lord.
Informal
it
polling?
It cannot be.
No. Ugh. All right. You know what? Speaking of polling in Illinois, let's...
Great.
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David's going to have plenty to say about what I just
David
said.
Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning. You know, Hal's concept of informal polling gives new meaning to Bob McDonald's vaginal probe.
Yes.
Well, a completely yes. opposite meaning, you know, that it has to be 100% voluntary.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
Not just voluntary begging for it in my
Exactly,
in my experience.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I meant about new meaning. It is the proper meaning. This is what Americans really want, is they want the informal. They don't want government-mandated polling.
No,
no.
They want to choose their polls.
Exactly.
David
this is
Bender,
free market polling.
Perhaps we're all frisky because of the latest momentum.
Momentum.
Wow.
Do you guys know what state we're in?
Exhaustion.
This is 27 states. And as the Republicans would be kind of pointing out, as Barack Obama said, they're 53 or 54. We're halfway there. But 27 states have voted. This is what we've got to show for it. This is what they've got to show for it. And the only thing that is important to note, no matter how badly Rick Santorum does, Mitt Romney still cannot win with people under $100,000.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. Across the board, there's been one constant statistic in all 27 of those states. If you're making less than $100,000 a year, you don't vote for Mitt Romney.
And David, 20% turnout. When have you heard that?
I mean,
that is...
Mid-major!
That doesn't sound like Korea to me.
Yeah.
But it makes us all Kim Jong-il. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Chris, is there still a chance? here's my point. Here's what we're looking at right now. Short attention span theater. We're going to see Louisiana voting on Saturday. Again, we're going to have a Santorum surge for about a half minute. It's not going to matter.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. And then Wisconsin.
Well, that's easy for you to say. If you haven't ever experienced a Santorum surge, it doesn't matter to you. But
Wisconsin, where the sexy liberal tour was born, is going to be voting first week of April. I think it's April 4th. And that may be the final burying ground of Rick Santorum. We can now say, is it possible, even given the Catholic past of Newt Gingrich, for him to get the last rites in his own church?
Yeah, he lost to Ron Paul in Illinois.
He lost to Ron Paul.
Bless his heart.
It's T-ball. He gets a little ribbon.
And Ron Paul lost to Rick Santorum.
Oh.
I mean, that's the absurd part. Remember months ago? That would have been ludicrous.
Yeah.
Let me read you, because you know this is, I just get all excited about a brokered convention. By the way, I just was at the HRC event I told you about just totally geeking out with Chris Matthews over the prospect of a brokered convention. Every 4 years, journalists fantasize about the prospect of a convention in which the evening begins without knowing when or how it will end. If Romney has not secured the nomination by the time the delegates convene in Tampa at the end of August, prospects for a genuine floor fight are greater than you might imagine.
Yay!
The reason is that delegates who are bound or pledged to a candidate are only obligated to follow his wishes when it comes to voting for a nominee. In the most contentious conventions, it is a fight over the rules that has effectively determined the nominee. And you were saying that, I mean, the Ron Paul people are great at this.
They're great at this if they have enough votes. They've got 50 now. I mean, to do a
Well, they have 50
fight,
legit.
I've been there for these.
Yeah.
It is very, very difficult to do. Look, in short attention span theater, we are going to forget this concept of a brokered convention by June. It will be long.
Wait a minute. Let me just read you one more paragraph before you kill my latest dream.
I know you love this.
Of my dreams die, but this is just let me. Where am I reading from? The Ticket. If Romney comes to the convention several dozen delegates shy, and if he has suffered setbacks in late primaries, you know which ones those are. Mm-hmm. These kinds of challenges may well lie at the heart of an anti-Romney strategy. Here it is critical to remember delegates who may be bound to vote for Romney on the first ballot do not have to stand with him on anything else, specifically in states like Alabama, Mississippi, and other conservative bastions. It's more likely there will be delegates bound to Romney who would not support him if they had a choice. So, I mean, I don't know which the late primaries are.
What happens, David Bender, if during the summer, for example, the Obama strategy of chipping away at Romney and the damage done to him in the primary actually mounts to a continued arc of away from him.
What if he comes into the stadium
like
Russell Crowe in Gladiator and he's already been cut with the poison sword and he's coming in?
It's a great analogy for a movie you never saw.
He'll come into the stadium with the stadium only 1/8 full, which in itself will be a bad metaphor for campaign.
He trips over a tumbleweed.
Thank you for coming here tonight.
And
my friends, corporations are people too, and as a matter of fact, I'm expecting that many corporations will attend the convention.
Oh yeah,
little piles of incorporation papers will sit on chairs. They will be the voters, and they should. They have the right to vote.
Yes.
Look, let's be clear. I mean, Stephanie, I love your dreams. I love for them to thrive and survive. As Hal points out, everything dies.
Yes.
And one of them is
particularly when they involve my dreams.
it's not going to happen, but what is interesting, and where, you know, if we learned anything from Game Change, Mitt Romney's real opportunity to try and breathe life into a campaign that has absolutely been without life. It is, we were joking yesterday about plugging in the current and having your hair stand on end like Elsa Lanchester in The Bride of Frankenstein. This is, for Mitt Romney to do that, to have any energy, to have any kind of enthusiasm, it's going to be the running mate. And
right.
That's what the conversation is going
to
start.
Well, then he has to pick Robert De Niro if he wants enthusiasm.
There we go.
Enthusiasm.
You're talking you're talking to me? You're talking to Sarah Palin? The question is, who is there who can do this? Now, what we've learned is that Rick Santorum has said so many things, so many completely irretrievably negative things. George H.W. Bush, the worst he said about Ronald Reagan was voodoo economics.
Yep.
That could be forgiven. You could wind up on a ticket if that's all you said. But now there is an endless loop, a YouTube loop of everything Rick Santorum has said. There is no way those two guys could ever get together. And that would that would be the natural ticket to try and heal the party.
Yeah.
So what's left?
Well, they've been floating Mitch Daniels, which, you know, George Bush's budget director, which is a genius idea.
I think he's going to pick Marco.
Rubio.
I don't think so.
And then they're still going to lose the Latino vote by huge margins.
Although they might do reasonably well in Florida. And Florida's obviously state and play. Look, this will come down to electoral math. This will come down to a lot of things. Your friend Chris Daniel, Chris Matthews, who, you know, you were talking to at HRC, does, you know, rightly point out that when we're talking about a two-person race, there is a number. And this is what I want everybody in Sexy Liberal and Stephanie Miller Land and everywhere within the sound of my voice to remember. There is a number come September or October. If gas prices are above that number, if they are $7 a gallon, there's a number where I don't care if you are Jesus walking on water, and we know that's what they say this president is, but it doesn't matter how good a job you're doing. People are going to vote no simply to say they are angry. So whatever that number is, that's going to determine, and we don't know it now. We can't sit here and know what
that number is
in Iran or in Europe or the rest of it. So to have this conversation in March, when in fact in October is when it's really going to matter,
here's two scenarios where the gas price issue comes up. One is, A, is that number much higher than it used to be? This perception that somehow $5 a gallon gasoline was the water level. Now it's not so much because it seems within shooting distance. It seems like it will back down after summer. And the public in mass is not blaming the president, for the most part, for the prices. This is a big shift in public opinion. The second one being, if we end up, having Israel's back in an attack on Iran or something similar, and prices go through the roof, will the public take that as, well, we can't change horses midstream, we're in the middle of a war with an actual thing, the gas prices are linked to our conflict in Iran, and that helps the president's choices, ironically enough.
Change horses in midstream was the argument that Bush won with Kerry.
Right.
You're absolutely right. That is possible. And so
I've already heard that, by the way, financially from Republicans who don't necessarily like Obama.
Although in Bush's case, it was change horses' asses. But that's entirely different. David Bender, we got to run. I love you.
Those are donkeys. I love you, too. Current. Go Current.
Go Current
TV.
Oh my God, speaking of political geeks like me and David Bender and Chris Matthews, I actually emailed him a political cartoon yesterday. The one that my sister had about, because only he would appreciate something like that.
Many people on your Facebook page appreciated it, too.
Oh, go check out my Facebook page.
That's right.
All right, kids, 18 minutes after the hour, Carbonite, 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 that's it. That's all I'm saying.
That's it?
If I need to say anything else, you're not paying attention.
That's all you got?
Yeah. If you don't have Carbonite on your computer, you are a giant doofus. That's all I'm saying. Think about everything you've got in your computer right now, all your files, your financial documents, your music, your photos, and you get a power outage, you get a virus, you lose your computer, it gets stolen, you spill something, Chardonnay in your laptop,
just
hypothetically, something
sure
happens.
Not that that would ever happen to anybody.
That's why you need Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite runs in the background. It automatically backs up your computer files whenever you are connected to the Internet. It takes just a few clicks to recover everything you got in there. You know that feeling you would pay anything to get all that stuff back in your computer? Carbonite, only $59 for the entire year. What? That includes unlimited backup plus anytime, anywhere access to all those files. I have Carbonite. You should too. Go to Carbonite.com. Click on free trial. Type in my offer code Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
So that's how we do it.
Yeah, that's like that. Not like that, like this.
I'm kind of buzzed, and it's all because this is how we do it.
It's perfect show song for Steph.
Yeah. This is how we do it in South Central.
I'm kind of buzzed, and it's all because
this is how we do it.
Nobody does it like South Central does.
No.
Sup? Steph would know.
Word. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800 Steph12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi.
Romney didn't tell the truth when he said his dog likes riding on the roof, because a reporter asked his son, when did Seamus drive back on the roof and get sick again? And the son said, when they got to Canada and unlocked the kennel, Seamus took off like a bat out of hell, and they never seen him since.
Yeah, I know. By the way, we have some polling in. Gee, imagine that. Most voters think it's inhumane to put the family dog in a kennel on the car roof.
Mm-hmm.
12 hours. You know, this trip was 12 hours. Oh, I'm such a dog lover. I'm so by the story. 68% in this public policy polling said it's inhumane to put the family dog on top of the car, compared with 14% who said it's humane.
And they're all fans of Michael Vick.
Yes, Romney. Told that Romney had done so, 55% it didn't affect which candidate it supported, 35% said it made them less likely to support him, and a very sadistic 7% said it made them more likely to support him.
Really?
Sick bastard people.
If Mitt Romney was the businessman that everybody says he is, he would have filed a copyright lawsuit against National Lampoon for stealing all of his dumb dad moments and using them for Clark Griswold in the family vacation movies.
By the way, okay, so, you know, ever since the Rush Limbaugh thing, they keep cranking up the fake outrage machine on the right.
He's still doing it.
My point is, did you guys think this Robert De Niro joke was so bad?
No.
I mean, this is what a right-wing caller called last week and said that my saying Crackerland for the Southern Front, the cracker...
Oh, how dare you!
...is as offensive as the N-word.
No.
I'm like...
Well, that points to a complete disassociation from the from what words mean on that person's part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same. That's exactly where that woman's coming from with the whole bumper sticker thing.
Not racist.
Yeah, that's not
crazy.
Racist. What? I don't know why anybody'd be upset. I'm not one. It doesn't bother me.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, Calista Gingrich, Karen Santorum, and Romney. Now, do you really think our country's ready for a white first lady? Too soon, right? So, of course, he gets a big laugh.
Because it's a joke about the historic nature of the fact that we have our first African American.
Right.
First lady. That's not offensive to anybody.
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't really
mention race. By mentioning race, it makes him a racist, according to people.
Gingrich
who
angrily,
are trying to say,
angrily fired back at the actor, calling his remarks inexcusable.
No, they're
pretty
easily.
Why? Because Calista's not white?
What? No, just because.
Well, she's not human. Yeah. She's from Mars.
Oh.
Right. Right. So Robert De Niro, of course. Robert De Niro has apologized, saying, "My remarks, although spoken with satirical jest, were not meant to offend or embarrass anyone, especially the First Lady." I mean, it's just like, okay.
He's got enthusiasms.
It's a joke. A little bit.
I sold them a little bit. But
oddly, voters in the same poll have much stronger, more negative feelings about Newt Gingrich's wife, Calista. 18% said they have a favorable opinion, 44% unfavorable.
They don't like that he's right about the time he decided he wanted to have an open relationship. That's who he ended up with, and they're drawing conclusions from that.
She unhinged her jaw and ate all those people.
Has anyone played Slim Whitman around her?
Michelle Obama trumps them all with a 54% of favorability rating. I don't know if you saw her on Letterman, but
my father had multiple sclerosis,
And I never knew him to be able to walk. But my dad worked so hard, and he loved us so much. And I think from him, I learned just absolute, complete, unconditional love. The notion that kids really don't need anything but to know that their parents adore them. And I think that's the greatest gift they gave us, just their constant support and, you know, stability. And that's really what we try to instill in our girls. I mean, you talk about raising kids, it's just really, you know, we had rules, we had boundaries, but there wasn't anything my dad wouldn't do for us. And
don't
make me cry.
No.
This isn't Oprah.
I just love her. It's just, oh.
Why does she hate America?
Oh, all right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Broads don't belong in broadcasting? Is that the kind of professional courtesy you teach your news department?
Why, that's just terrible. I don't know how many times I've told those boys never call chicks broads.
Why, you slimy! Ooh.
Oh, I never. 34 minutes after the hour.
A little more deep fried chicken, a little less tofu.
1-800-STEP-1-2. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jimmy in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jimmy. Oops, I did that wrong. Yeah. Hi, Jimmy. Hey.
Hey. This is Jimmy from where we live out in Western Mass. We met you outside the Wilbur last year before you, when you got done with your little jog.
With our little show. Yes. Hi,
yeah,
Jimmy.
Me and Sandy. And when we went over to the pub there, we got Sandy's sister on the line, and she said hi to you. And you
I
said,
remember,
why
yes.
You here?
Yep.
She's coming with us this year.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. What are the chances you run into me in a bar? That's so...
Isn't that funny? Well, I wanted to wait till Hal was on with you, because we can't wait to see him either, and John.
In June at the Wilbur Theater.
I will not, unfortunately, be at the bar, but I will be at the show.
Yeah, he'll be at the bar. He's going to be drinking. All right. Thank you, Jimmy. See you then.
You guys are wicked smash.
Wicked smash.
All right. Phil in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, hi. I want to give you some background information. Unfortunately, CNN and the rest of them have a memory of about 1 megabyte in terms of history. In Florida here in 2005, this kind of thing that happened in Sanford, Florida, this happens all the time in Florida.
We're talking about Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're talking about the boy who was killed in one of Jeb Bush's Hitler Youth camps, and he was beat to death with the nurse standing by doing nothing, all captured on videotape. The videotape was shown to the jury, and the jury acquitted all of those prison guards who committed the murder.
Wow.
That's number one. Number two, within the last week in Dunedin, Florida, which here we are, we're on the west coast of Florida, a man didn't want to be arrested. He was giving he was at the beach. He was wet. He gave the policeman a hard time. The policeman tasered him and killed him. Number two, in 2005, Jeb Bush passed the Bring Your Gun to Work law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, which enabled a woman who was unhappy with her coworkers at the public store in Tarpon Springs to bring a gun to work and murdered both of them at
the
store.
No, I mean, you know, I believe me, I know. That's where, like Jim, as you said earlier, this is where it starts with these incredibly, not even close to reasonable gun laws. They're ridiculous. And then you add in this toxic brew of racism that it seems to have gotten worse from, you know, since the election of President Obama. This one, by the way, Dawn brings me this one. A new one every day. Something for Racist Republicans back. Hi, Mama. Last Thursday, State Representative John Torbett of North Carolina felt the need to share a humorous image of President Obama with all his nearest and dearest on Facebook. He created a collage entitled American Presidents in Uniform. It portrayed several past presidents in military uniform. There's President Obama wearing a white turban. His caption kind of speaks volume. Yes, no, next time vote for the real American. He claims he wasn't intending to be racist. He said, he was just asking a question to gauge your response. He hasn't really bothered to apologize, but he did admit the response made him realize he should be a little more sensitive, and the awareness I have now, it sets the bar higher for me. He referred to the photo as silly and humorous.
Yeah,
when asked
right.
if he believed Obama was Muslim, he responded, I have no idea. He says he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Well, at the same time, Sean Hannity, you know, when Fox News talks about Obama being a Muslim 24/7 controversy started, that statement came out. Sean Hannity goes, that's not the case at all or whatever. He obviously went to Christ Church in Chicago for 20 years. Of course, he was raised with the background, you know, where he read the Quran and he said praying at sunset was, you know, one of the most, sunrise
Muslim.
But, you know, but we take him at his word that he's a Christian. Just
Please.
Constantly laying the seed that somehow... Thomas Jefferson read the Quran. He had a copy of it himself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The idea that you study something, ignorance does not equal innocence, and neither.
Implication of saying, "Well, he says he's Christian," means like, if you believe lying Muslims, then
right.
The whole implication is
exactly
he's probably,
that he's not that he's lying.
They're playing
us
for fools.
Should Google
the Treaty
of Tripoli.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Hey, Diane.
I was going to talk about Newt Gingrich, but before I say that, let me say this: mm-hmm. We have got to stop allowing them to set the tone. Why did Robert De Niro apologize? Mm-hmm. Gingrich is on everywhere saying he wants Obama to apologize. No one made Rush Limbaugh apologize to Sandra Fluke. They were all silent.
Yep.
So why did Robert De Niro apologize? He was telling a joke.
Right, it's a false equivalency again.
He made a fellatio joke about the former Speaker of the House yesterday.
Yeah. Oh no, actually,
right.
That was old.
Was it older?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was when Pelosi was Speaker of the House.
The point is, Newt Gingrich was only mad because he called off Romney's wife and Santorum's wife when he really wanted to call off his own three wives' names and said that he was outraged.
When they asked Gingrich about who would make a great first lady, he had to actually think about which of his ladies was first.
Just hang on.
I can't remember.
Wait a minute.
So many. I can't.
All right. Eddie Munster.
My third lady would make a great first lady.
Eddie Munster with his new Paul Ryan and his new, it's the same crap, different binder. He just picked a different color binder, essentially.
New peach.
Ryan and the GOP have the social safety net and Medicare again in their sights, attempting to pass a cost of massive tax breaks for corporations, the rich, off on middle and lower income Americans. Paul Ryan. Yesterday.
First. We propose that we repeal the president's disastrous health care law. It stops its spending from threatening our physical health.
Mm. Yeah, here are the fun facts about what the budget does.
Mm-hmm.
Seniors would pay more for health care beginning in 2023. The guaranteed Medicare benefit would be transformed into a government-financed premium support system, which sounds like a really good kind of Kotex.
Yeah. And then all
With
insurance
wings.
Companies would be relieved of the need to take on people who've got pre-existing conditions, who can't get insurance,
yes.
or been dropped off insurance in the past.
Here's a $5 coupon.
That would save
Number
a lot
two.
Of money.
Number two, the elderly and disabled would lose Medicaid coverage. The budget would eliminate existing match and grant financing structure of Medicaid and would instead give each state a predetermined block grant that does not keep up with actual health care spending.
It's called
Tricky.
The cull the herd provision.
Yeah. Number three, 30 million Americans would lose health coverage. The budget repeals the Affordable Care Act's requirement to purchase health insurance coverage, the establishment of health insurance exchanges, and the provision of subsidies for lower-income Americans, the expansion of the Medicaid program, on and on and on. Number four, corporations and the rich would get a $3 trillion tax cut. One more. Defense budget would get a boost while the safety net is cut. His budget protects defense spending from automatic cuts already agreed to in last year's debt deal. Then boost defense spending to $554 billion in 2013, $8 billion more than agreed upon in the deal, and at the same time asks Congress to find $261 billion in cuts.
Well, we're supposed to read it. We're supposed to look at the binder.
Paul Ryan, sharpening the contrast.
We are sharpening the contrast between the path that we're proposing and the path of debt and decline that the president has placed us upon.
Yes, you are. Zombie.
We're not going to do anything about actual health care costs. We're just going to eliminate people's access to it.
Right.
That's a great way of doing it.
Zombie-eyed Granny Starver.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
Charlie Pierce calls him. Paul Ryan.
If we simply operate based on political fear, nothing's ever going to get done.
If we actually start caring about people,
Nothing bad.
Yeah.
It's gotta get done.
We'll never get our plans put in place. Mm. The government will still exist in a couple of years.
Nancy Pelosi on the new
G. They had made it clear they want Medicare to wither on the vine, to die, and this is an important step for them in that direction. Bless their hearts, they don't believe in Medicare, and they act upon their beliefs, the Republicans do.
Again,
I'm sure Rush Limbaugh will have something to add to this debate later today.
Thank you for the leadership you have provided already this year.
He made a dash for that microphone as soon as he finished. And let me tell you what she was doing, that microphone. And she was pretending that microphone was a body part of Obama. That's exactly what's going on because she knows. She knows what's... I mean...
Is he 12 years old?
Yes. Yeah.
What the...
I just thought some more attention should be brought to that. I'm not sure exactly how long ago that's from, but I don't think enough attention's been paid to that.
No, that was kind of... People went right past that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Van Hollen on the Ryan budget as well.
If you're Mitt Romney, you're going to love this budget because what it does is provide another round of tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans and does it at the expense of middle-class taxpayers and seniors.
Jeff in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Romney supporters state his business experience as the reason they wanted to be president, but if they lived in Arizona and worked in Arizona, they'd know better than wanting their nation to be ran like a right-to-work state. And his name is Willard. Stop calling him Mitt.
Exactly.
Well, again, here's the thing. This CEO-president concept that they really do enjoy or whatever, like the country's that has to turn a cash profit to be beneficial as opposed to a country's profit is the health and well-being of its citizenry. It's not a cash number. It's an actual life number. Mm-hmm. And in this case, particularly, they just don't care. You can fire the poor. I like firing people. We'll just get rid of the poor. We'll get rid of immigrants. We'll just send them back where they came from.
If he's going to run in his business experience, he means he's going to hollow out America and send all our jobs overseas so that he and his friends can take the profits.
His immigration policy is, I will make America the greatest country in the world that no one wants to come to.
Yes. Dave in Buffalo on the Rombot. Hello, Dave.
Yes. You had suggested a couple of weeks ago that Romney's clip art dad, his day job.
Yes. Yes.
Well, if he's got an empty stadium, I mean, The Natural, the Robert Redford film, was filmed here in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine has one of those cardboard extras.
Yeah.
Oh. Why doesn't Romney call some of his clip art friends and just fill the stadium that way?
Oh, that's right. A great idea.
With cutouts. Yeah. That would have more enthusiasm than actual people for him.
If we build them, they will come.
45 minutes after the hour, right back. The remaining moments, Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious? So it's a mess if you are wrong. In all the right ways, all my undertones. We will never be anything but loud and nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. So why so blessed if you are wrong?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour.
No intention of being fancy or dancing right now.
I don't know.
I don't think you can help it, quite frankly. Not in those in that outfit. You wait till people can watch this on Current regularly. They're going to know the magic that is Jim Ward.
Yeah. Right. Totally. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, looky here, Hal. You were just talking about this morning. How gas prices, obviously not the president's fault. In most polling, people know that. Everywhere except on Fox News.
Isn't that funny?
Fox News repeatedly blamed President Obama for rising gasoline prices. Media Matters did the research. 55% of Fox News coverage suggested President Obama directly to blame for rising gas prices. Mm-hmm. Fox blamed Obama 144 times in 2 months.
What do you know? You think they had a
strategy or something?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
We have more breaking sexy liberal news. John Fugelsang,
yes,
the third sexy liberal in the sexy liberal triumvirate.
I blame him for gas prices
on Fox News. Yeah, he's really to blame, is my point. Mm-hmm. What? On CNN this morning, he had a Romney advisor on, and the Romney advisor admitted that Mitt Romney's like an etch-a-sketch.
Etch-a-sketch, yeah. After the primary, he'll just shake it and start from scratch. What's the difference between that, though? If you're going to start the primary, that like leave the primary and go into the general election that way, that's how he does every state.
Yeah, here it like is CNN this morning.
Herman Gingrich might force the governor to tack so far to the right it would hurt him with moderate voters in the general election.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an etch-a-sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Mitt Romney is like an etch-a-sketch.
He's two-dimensional.
Charge on the Romney team? Who's in charge of shaking Romney between states?
These are pancakes.
I'm for a mandate again.
That wasn't a gaffe. Someone tried to make clouds separate from the house, and there's always a line connecting them, because that's how an etch-a-sketch works, my friend.
I love the inlet.
The trees are the right height, because on an etch-a-sketch, you can only really draw to a certain height.
Right.
Yeah.
President's a big spender. Growth in government spending under President Reagan slower than during Bush or Reagan administration.
Oh, facts.
Look at that.
Shut up.
The facts of a liberal bias.
The Atlantic says, for all the talk you hear about Obama's historic spree, government spending actually hasn't increased so dramatically under this president. The stimulus was big, but it's over. It's been replaced by, if anything, more austerity than by a hard correction to center. While the overall number of jobs created has steadily increased for the past several months, those advances all come entirely in the private sector. Public sector jobs have actually been on the decline for much of the last year as government spending on some agencies and programs has been cut. The Atlantic put it best, going by federal expenditures, it would seem that if Obama's a socialist, Ronald Reagan is Karl Marx with an ICBM. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, perusing this Paul Ryan budget, and I think legally you actually have to make air
quotation
quotes
mark, yeah.
When you talk about it as a budget, because there's no actual numbers in there. It's just kind of a generic, we're going to drop everything by 10% because we're going to figure it out. When? Later, with our guys in a room, but we'll do it in the light of day until we get to do it, and then we'll not do it.
No. Here's another sign of momentum. Senator John McCain, he's not done as well as I'd hoped.
He
was asked, is Romney going to win this? McCain hesitated. I'm very confident he will. If it's comfortable margin, that's not clear. I think it lends more of an atmosphere of inevitability that he will be the nominee, and maybe we can get off of this and onto the... All right.
You'll either snag the first wire or crash.
I thought I was a crappy candidate. Dear God.
Having trouble sleeping? Staying up at night watching nothing but late-night television? Perhaps there's a cure. Mitmentum. That's right. Now available in pill form over the counter. Take two Mitmentums.
Wash it down with a Santorum Surge.
Yeah, you'll be out by 8:30.
All right.
May cause you to put the dog on the roof of your car.
No.
Yeah, all right. Please don't operate heavy machinery like a family station wagon under Mitmentum.
A little bit of celebrity stack before we go. Angelina Jolie's brother is going to conduct the wedding ceremony. Oh, I hope she doesn't kiss him instead of Brad Pitt. Because, you know, remember that creepy kissing her brother? Yeah.
Awkward.
Angie originally planned to have her brother walk her down the aisle. Now she's decided to let her dad, John Voight.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, dear.
Really?
Wow. Right wing.
I thought they were estranged.
Estranged. No, I guess
I think
not.
Maybe to rub it in.
I guess not.
That it, like he's got to stare her husband Brad Pitt and her 97
sure
children
there are no
in
sharp
the face.
Objects around.
Yeah.
You may now kiss the brother. No. Okay. Dr. Conrad Murray says jail food is making him ill.
Oh yeah.
Oh, dear. He's
maybe lost. Somebody will call 911.
Yeah.
Ignore it for a while.
He's lost 30 pounds through chronic diarrhea. I didn't need to know that. He claims...
The
jail smells and tastes bad, and he's living on a diet of cat food. Oh, don't worry. If Paul Ryan's budget passed, we'll all be living on a diet of cat food. It's all right.
You're the canary in the coal mine, Doc.
Eye sockets and a-holes.
All right. Richard Gere...
That's the name of one of the appendixes in Paul Ryan's budget.
Yeah.
Eye sockets and a-holes. Yum diddly yumptious. The nice thing is, it's already pre-masticated, so old people don't have to worry about getting their teeth fixed anymore.
Because dental's not covered.
We thought of everything.
The great thing about cat food is you can gum it.
Yeah.
Unlike dog food, which is crunchy.
Boxcar.
Yeah, right.
Popcorn. Did you see that? I missed this one yesterday. Donald Trump went on Twitter, went after Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell has failed again. Oh, yes, she was not as successful as your presidential run.
Huge failure.
Of course, he's been bashing her for years, claiming she's a pig and a loser after she called him a snake oil salesman.
Yeah, the guy who has, like, one of the only two casinos that doesn't make money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How does that happen? The house always wins unless you're Donald Trump.
And did you know that his huge hotel in Las Vegas doesn't even have a casino?
Huge. No, no. Yeah.
But no, that doesn't seem like a good business decision.
No, and it's off the strip. It's
All right, the Nicolette Sheridan. Nicolette Sheridan, Desperate Housewives. Trial has, I guess they deadlocked.
They deadlocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, now that we're going to be on television and the radio, do not try to kill Hal Sparks' character on Lab Rats, because we will come after you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
by the way, great new episode coming this Monday. And
Sweet.
And they're all available on iTunes.
Are they really?
Yes, you can download them or you can buy the season.
Awesome.
And it's very exciting. We have two episodes left in the season and we're shooting.
Very cool.
Awesome. So. Alec Baldwin urging Americans to boycott circuses because of the way they treat elephants. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be rude, thoughtless little pigs
who
go to the circus.
Cirque du Soleil, which only does that to Frenchmen. Yeah, they use electric cattle prods.
Has he had any thoughts
on
how the Trump kids treat elephants? Because that might be something else that he should look into.
He boycotted The Apprentice. Since that money goes into their dad's pocket, which goes into their pocket, which they use to buy bullets to shoot animals that were just eating and minding their business.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. HowSparks.com is the Hal Sparks website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website for all the upcoming dates. Can I play Sexy Liberal music? Why not?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Sexy Liberal on Facebook for all the upcoming links. Albuquerque up next, March 31st. And you can see HowSparks.com for all things Hal Sparksian.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hal. We'll
follow me on the tweets at Hal Sparks. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow
see
on the Stephanie Miller Show.